Let's see what the stew has in store for us today.
Welcome to the Gnomecast, Gnome Stew's Tabletop Gaming Advice Podcast. Here we talk with the other gnomes about gaming things to avoid becoming part of the stew, so I guess we'd better be good. This episode is brought to you by our awesome Patreon backers like the great Greg Gordon, the jazzy Jim Anderson, and the dauntless Doug Roz. Today we have myself, Ange, along with JT and Tomas, and we're going to talk about the gaming resolutions we made for 2024, how they turned out, and what our hopes are for 2025. Before we dive into that main topic, though, we're going to ask our Get to Know a Gnome question, which is, have you ever had a character start with a set of goals that had to change because of what happened during play of the game? JT, I'm going to start with you.
Sure thing. So this was a D&D 3.0 campaign that Bill was running, and I made a wizard cleric. And my entire intent with the character was to be able to craft any and all magic items that our party needed at half the price, right? Because that was how the rules mechanics worked in that version of D&D. And I also wanted to make some extra magic items that maybe I could sell on the open market to make some money to fund our activities. Unfortunately, and I kind of set him up as a historian, kind of like a Indiana Jones type character, loved exploring ruins and doing rubbings of carvings and doing sketches of artwork we saw on walls and things like that, right? He was a true explorer. He wanted to go to all the abandoned places in the world and figure out what was there and all that good stuff.
Cool.
Well, the very first place that we explored was a burial site, as you do at first level, right? Mm-hmm. And there was no one dead there. It was really just an empty burial site with a few goblins camped outside taking shelter. At the end of the exploration, we were pretty deep into the ruins, and we came across a mummified human knight. Now, he was not a mummy, like, oh, get up and give me mummy rot and all that good stuff. Just mummified corpse, and he had armor on, and on his chest was his shield and sword. And we were like, okay, we're going to respect the dead and leave it alone. We're just going to turn around and walk away. And I did some sketches of the shield, and, you know, there were some runes on the sword, blah, blah, blah. And so I did notes of that and all that. And we're just turning to leave, and the elf in the party was like, nah, I want the sword. Yoink! And grabs the sword. And nobody could stop him. It was just too late to... He said it too quickly, and the way Bill runs his game is if we wanted to try to stop him, maybe we roll for initiative, and we were just like, nope, Eric, the player Eric, was like, hey, I you know, grabbed the sword. Well, that kind of unleashed this huge wave of negative energy that was visible that cascaded across the mummified corpse, through the ruins of the dead, out across the surrounding barrow areas where there were more burial sites, and across several sites of huge battles where there were dead that were just like left where they fell. And of course, they all wake up as undead, and there's thousands of them. So that changes the trajectory of the campaign, because now we have to stop the undead horde that our stupid elf just woke up. And you can't exactly stop for like days or weeks on end to make magic items. So I ended up shifting gears into becoming a more or less evoker with good turn undead stuff, which worked really well against the undead. But I really wanted to work on like the craft and support type spells.
Yeah.
But it didn't get to go that way. Through the entirety of the campaign, it probably ran about 6 months, I made all of one magic item, which was a Liamen's Tiny Hut trapped in a crystal that had 50 charges, like basically a wand of Liamen's Tiny Hut that anybody could use. And we were high enough level that we really didn't need the tiny hut ourselves. So I turned around and sold it. And I think I made a profit of like 75 gold. So I was sad that I didn't get to explore the character as intended, but we still had a good time. It was still a fun adventure.
Yeah, and I can see that type of thing happening, because you may have a concept for the character, but if the nature of the campaign doesn't allow the time to do those type of things, it's easy to get lost in there.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about you, Tomas? What's a character you had that had a goal and then had to change it?
Well, for me, I am currently playtesting or playing a campaign of Kids on Capes, which is a game that is going to be coming out soon with some of the designers and stuff. It is about playing kids that become superheroes. Mm-hmm. You get to go through the whole becoming the superhero thing, the origin story of your heroes and stuff. The characters from the party became superheroes because of one specific moment, a la Fantastic Four, but in a different manner. The moment that all our kids started to notice that they had superpowers, they will go like, they will be extremely happy because they are kids, teenagers, that just discovered that they can do fabulous things. My little kid, I created the character with the idea of giving him plant powers, like being able to summon plants from the ground or go all poison ivy, stuff like that. The roles on my side of the table weren't going very well. In fact, they were going absolutely terrible. So that meant that whenever I tried to show off my powers in some stupid kid way, nothing would come out from the ground, or maybe only the leaves would move from the forest, stuff like that. So he'll be extremely disappointed that all his friends were able to do amazing stuff and he was able to do absolutely nothing. At that moment, crying on the ground, not being able to do stuff, he tried to make moss move. And the moss was good enough to move on the roll. So from that moment onwards, this kid has the idea that he can only work with moss, not with any other kind of plant.
Nice.
So the superhero name is Moss, of course, and it's some sort of swamp monster thing, the suit that we designed for him. And he's the loveliest little kid, very sensible. So I find it hilarious that the campaign went that way because of some specific roles, and the idea that they had for him in the beginning completely changed along the way.
That's hilarious.
How about you, Ange? What do you have?
I've talked about Dove many times before. She is my wild magic sorcerer from my buddy's City of Cowls campaign. She started as a runaway noble. She was kind of a charlatan running around with a bard, bilking people for money to just go out and party and have fun. She was on the run from an arranged marriage. And, you know, it was the start. And, like, I figured she would be fairly carefree and not really, you know, be that into a variety of things that require responsibility. But as the campaign has progressed, if she survives this campaign, she's probably going to go take over her father's kingdom.
Oh.
And rule it, because she's tired of seeing the little people get stomped under the heel of those with power or in desire of power. And she's just tired of it. And if she can do something about it, she feels like she needs to. That, of course, if she survives the end of the campaign and the world survives the end of the campaign, because there's currently a demonic invasion. So.
Okay. No small feat there.
Yeah. But she definitely ended up taking a different direction than I expected. And when the moment where I realized that she was considering that was a possibility, it was like, oh yeah, she's got a little more integrity than I thought.
So great getting to discover your own characters as you play as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Moving on into our main topic. This is going to be the last episode of the Gnomecast for the year. So we thought we'd take some time and talk about our various gaming resolutions that we had for 2024 and what we might be planning for 2025. Before we dive into it, I want to say that setting resolutions as goals you want to attain is great, but be gentle with yourself if they don't come out like you want. Resolutions are always joked about being set on January 1st and then abandoned before the end of the month. It's good to set goals, but understand that life can happen and you have to be able to adapt. So that being said, let's get into it. JT, what were your goals for 2024?
So the main goal that I had was, I've been since right at the start of the pandemic, like a month or three before the pandemic started, I proposed to two of my role-playing buddies that, hey, maybe we should create our own role-playing game. And there's many reasons for that, so I won't go into. And they were on board. We had initial discussions and all that good stuff, and decided, yes, this is a thing we want to do. We were all in. You know, then the pandemic happened and creativity went down the crapper.
Yeah.
Anyway, near the end of 2023, we finally got a solid rule set and one campaign setting together to actually play the game. So we played it during 2024, found a lot of rough edges, as you do, because it's playtesting, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing comes out of the oven perfect. Exactly. You got to playtest. We have smoothed out all the rough edges, I think we're good mechanically on the game. We just need to get write a solid setting book. We have the mechanics for the setting in place. We just need to flesh it out, make it a true setting. We've got a solid start on that. So those were two of my goals for 2024, was get the main book done. And when I say done, I mean written, not edited, laid out, blah, blah, blah. That comes later, right? And I wanted a solid start on a setting book, and we have that. So I'm super happy with those.
That's really cool. Did you have any that didn't pan out?
Yeah, one. I really wanted to run either Cyberpunk 2020 or Cyberpunk Red. Just never got either one of those to the table throughout the year. We were so busy playtesting. I mean, the playtesting probably consumed 8 of our 12 months of gaming. Early in the year, however, we did manage to get Cities Without Number, Stars Without Number.
Sorry, the
space opera one. I have all the Without Number books from Kevin Crawford, so I get them kind of mixed up in my head. But Stars Without Number, which is the space opera game with a little bit of cybernetics in there, some humanoid enhancement type stuff. We did get to play several sessions of that. And, oh, that was a hoot. That was so much fun.
That's cool.
So that was my three for the year. Two were highly successful, and one was a fail, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning of this, life is complicated, and it you know, to quote Ferris Bueller, it comes at you fast.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to adapt, and sometimes the campaigns you expect to get off the ground don't happen when you expect it. What about you, Tomas? What were your goals for 2024, and how did they turn out?
Okay, as for my goals for this year that is ending, I had a bunch of ideas thrown around here and there. But mostly I wanted to be able to design the supplement for Morgborg, Gothborg, that I had in mind, as well as a setting agnostic setting. So mostly that you can place anywhere. It's a city, I have said mentioned it numerous times here, Magnolia, that didn't pan out exactly, so I'm postponing it to next year.
But you did work on it.
I did work on it as well. We had the team ready, we have everything ready to get started as soon as possible. A bit of that, but as well, I had some other plans. I wanted to play as many different games as possible as well, but life went rough in many moments there, so some things didn't pan out. Maybe some of the things that I wanted to design, as well as going to conventions, which was another thing that I wanted to do a lot, but being on the other side of the world for me, if I don't have much financial support, nor a job being too stable to support it for me, I can't get to that. Hopefully, a bit of that can pan out for next year, but who knows?
It's tough to travel.
Yes.
Any distance.
Yes.
But when you're on the other side of the planet from the places you want to go, it can get a little daunting.
Exactly.
For me, my goal, like the main goal I had coming into 2024 was I wanted to run The Electric State, which is a new game from Free League. I think I'd already gotten the playtest rules by the beginning of the year, but I had already put it on the schedule for Origins. So I really wanted to get a handle on that game, get an understanding of it. So I dug through it. I made the pre-gen characters for it. I did a playtest of it before Origins. I ran it at Origins, and then I ran it again at UConn, and it turned out pretty well. It's got some quirky differences from the other Free League games that I'm used to. Like, there's no skills. There's just the four attributes and then the various items that the characters can add to things or talents they can add to things. I found it a little rough around the edges as far as that goes. But honestly, I find that about most of the Year Zero engine systems. Like,
yeah,
they're not my favorite systems, but the settings of those games are just
so cool.
They're my jam.
Oh, yeah. Free League and settings, they just knock it out of the park.
Yeah, absolutely. This next one wasn't a beginning of the year goal, but it quickly became a major, major goal for me through the year. I found out in March that one of my monthly games with some people that I highly respect, the GM that was running the game we were playing was like, I'm too overwhelmed. I can't keep running. I'm going to wrap up the campaign this month. And I was like, oh, well, I still want us to get together and play at Origins, because part of this group was we always play in person at Origins.
Oh, that's cool.
And nobody else was stepping up to run something. So I was kind of like, well, I guess if I want this to happen, I have to step up and be the one to run it. So I kind of mulled it over for a week or two and then pitched the idea to the group that I would run a superheroes game using Savage Worlds, Super's Companion, and it would be this whole concept of a mostly normal world without visible superhero teams. The players basically get kidnapped from their lives and they wake up a couple of months later with superpowers in a remote location, and now they need to figure out how to get out of there, what to do. And thankfully, I'm really happy with the way the campaign is progressing. We have been able to play every month since the campaign started in May. We started in May, played in person in June, got to play in July, and so on and so forth. And
amazing.
It's fingers crossed, it's going really well. So I'm pretty proud of that one. The thing I didn't really achieve and is getting kind of, you know, kicking the can down the road to next year is I really wanted to try and start pulling some of my Tales from the Loop scenarios together in a way that I can publish them, share them with people. Because I've got this whole thing of, it's Tales of Eighth Grade, and it's like starts in September of 1984 and ends in June of 1985, and I have a scenario for each month.
That's dope.
Very cool.
I never got around to actually working on that like I wanted to this year.
You got the idea there, so maybe you can get to it.
Yeah. Let's take a look at what we want to do for 2025. JT, I'll start back with you.
All right. Hey, guess what? That RPG that we've been developing? Since we are so close on main book and one setting, there's a life event going on with one of my game design partners that has to resolve before we can proceed with forming a company and doing a Kickstarter and blah, blah, blah. Because nobody wants Kickstarter money on their personal taxes. That's just a bad, bad, bad idea.
Yeah.
So we're going to form an LLC, but there's a life event that has to settle down with one of my game design partners before we can even take those steps. However, we can continue developing and writing and all that. There's no problem there. My personal goal, and I haven't told my partners about this, so they're finding out now because they listen to the podcast, is I would love to have three total settings. And the reason there's multiple settings is that the core mechanics are adaptive, meaning you can adapt any setting to it.
Nice.
So I'd love to have three total settings, a fantasy, a near future sci-fi Blade Runner-esque setting, and then probably a space opera setting. Maybe cyberpunk will take precedent, but I don't know yet. We got to have that discussion with the group. Three setting books, and then for each setting, three adventures that are kind of linked together. You know, they can be run standalone, but like your low level, your mid tier, and your higher power adventures that kind of interconnect. So that's all of nine adventures to put together, along with three setting books, and finalize the main book.
That's nothing. You can get it done.
Just a few things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, there's three of us working on this, so it's not like it's just me doing it. So that's one of my goals for 2025 right there, is to actually get all this work done, have it prepped and ready, and then launch the Kickstarter. We'll probably do like one setting as a base. Like if you back it, you get a setting. The other two settings would be stretch goals.
That makes sense.
But I don't want to include stretch goals that aren't already in the can, so to speak. And the Kickstarter obviously is going to fund things like editing, layout, artwork, maps, all that good stuff. But I want the writing itself done before we even touch the create a Kickstarter button.
That makes sense. You will want some art assets before you
for the Kickstarter itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Tomas? What do you want to? What's your 2025 looking like if it goes the way you want it to?
I have so many things to plan for 2025. I shouldn't have so many things planned because that's what went wrong this year. But well, a bit of what I had planned for last year, for this year that has passed, I plan on continuing it with this next one. I plan on playing more games. We have been talking with some friends of starting a short campaign of the game Heart. So I'm really looking forward to that. I like to play a bit more of Pathfinder 2E that I have been liking quite a bit. There's also the possibility of having some sort of expansion or supplement for this Gothborg supplement itself that they created for Morkborg. So more content for this setting. Lastly, well, not lastly, but there's also the idea of, because the whole community of TTRPG here in my country has started to group up, and I'm there in the middle as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love a lot more to participate with that and encourage more people to get into the hobby.
Yeah.
So that's a very cool thing that I'm excited happen right about here. And in the meantime, while all of that is going along, I have a game that I have been working on for a year and a half, mostly, with my friend Scott Bullock. It is called Russian Punch. We are playtesting it all around the year. It is pretty much a frenetic and cinematic game of heroes that confront gigantic entities. And it creates a lot of emergent gameplay without the need to plan anything at all. And it being very straightforward, very simple, you can learn about it in about 5 minutes or so. But creates that sort of feel in which a video game like Shadow of the Colossus can give you.
Mm-hmm.
We have at the moment two settings that we have up to for playtesting it. So one, it is pretty much Pirates of the Caribbean with Pirates Against Leviathans. And the other one is Capes of Kaiju City. So pretty much superheroes against kaijus.
Nice.
And we are planning on some sort of corporate thing in which demon hunters go hunt demons, but they all belong to some corporate thing as some other setting in the future.
I'm very curious about this superheroes fighting kaijus, though.
Yes, me too.
If you want to try it out, I am having it up for playtest, and I have the playtest packet as well. So yeah, follow me on social media. Every so often I post it. I am trying not to get a huge amount of people on it because I want the playtest to be the people I trust the most, mostly,
yep.
But I am opening it up more as time goes along. If you two want to participate, I would love to have you play with it as well.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Sure thing, yeah.
So for me, it seems the last few years, one of my means of making myself achieve a goal going into New Year is I put a game on the schedule for Origins that I haven't done anything with yet. And the one for this year is I am going to do a game set in the world of Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon Forbidden West.
Oh, cool.
Using Savage Worlds. And the idea is that these are characters from the various tribes that have come together to help Aloy and friends deal with something. And so all I have at this point is the concepts for the characters and the blurb and the title of the scenario that are basically written and submit. Well, I don't know if they're submitted to Origins yet, but I've given them to my person that will be submitting them to Origins.
Manager.
So they're sort of set in stone.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that one. And in fact, for the first time, rather than running, I usually run two games at Origins. This year, instead of running two different games, I'm just going to run two sessions of that.
Okay, awesome.
I think it'll have enough draw that they'll both fill.
Sure.
Yeah, it sounds very cool. I'll definitely play if I were there.
It should be a lot of fun. The other thing I am doing is probably starting somewhere after January 1st, I'm going to be running a campaign for one of my regular groups where I will be running Tales of the Valiant for the first time for the group. We're going to take it from first level on up, and I'm going to use the Tales of the Old Margreave from Kobold Press to basically structure everything, and I'm kind of excited about that.
Leaning into the Feywild, right?
It's leaning into all the weird old world magic of the old forest, so it should be pretty fun. I'm sure I will be talking about it a lot on the other podcast, which will get mentioned at the end of this episode. And like I said earlier, kind of kicking the can down from one year to the other, I really do want to try and pull together those Tales from the Loop scenarios into some kind of shareable format. I have 2 months left that I need to create scenarios for, and I put one of them, again, you know, kind of that put it on the schedule so you promise it to someone else and have to do it now. I've put one of them on the schedule for a con in February, so that will be the April scenario called Fellow Friends, and it's going to involve exchange students. The June scenario, which is the final one for the year, is called the Finals Countdown, but I haven't done anything with that other than like just some like scribbled notes of ideas. So that's the general gist of what I've got that I want to try and get through the year for. There's a slim possibility I may end up having to run at some point next year. I expect to pick up my Depths of Zendrick D&D game. I'm hoping that it's not at the same time I'm running the Tales of the Old Margreave for the other Saturday group, but
right,
you know, who knows? Who knows how this is all going to shake out? Any other thoughts on what your hopes are for 2025?
I've got two more. 2 weeks ago, as of time of recording, we fired up a new first edition mega campaign that my buddy Bill is going to be running. I've always wanted to play a first edition bard. And for you gentle young people who don't know, you don't just pick bard and play a bard. You have to earn it.
It's a journey.
It's a journey, absolutely. So you have to have at least 5 levels of fighter. You have to be human or half elf to start with. Of course, we've kind of thrown those rules out the window. I could be a dwarven bard if I felt like it in our campaign, but I'm a half elf, and you start out as a fighter, and you've got to go to at least 5th level fighter, but not beyond 8th level fighter. And then you switch to thief, not rogue, it's a thief. And then you have to go to at least 6th level thief, and then you can become a bard, which means you start your druidic training and learn druid spells and all the bardic powers and all that good stuff. My intent is to get to 7 levels of fighter, because that's where the breakpoint is for getting extra attacks as a fighter in first edition, and then 8 levels of thief, and then finally my 16th level will be my first level in bard. And because this is going to be a long-running campaign, if I can keep this character alive long enough, I'll actually have a bard. The other gotcha is that you have to have 4 15s, a 12, and a 10 in various stats.
Yeah.
And I managed to roll super, super well and landed 4 15s, so I barely got that requirement, a 13, and a 14. So I'm super happy with my stats coming in, and I really hope I can make it to bard. We'll see how it's going.
The way those games go, we may be able to ask you how your bard is coming along next year when we do this concept of an episode again.
Sure. Well, you do get a 1 XP per gold piece found. We're using those rules, so there you go. Yeah. Right. So we're already 2nd level, except for maybe the Cavalier, because different classes level at different rates in first edition.
I started playing in first edition, yeah. And the bard was this mythical thing out there that they yes. would tell me about. So I ended up just playing a, I think it was a mage thief with a lute. And then it happened to be that campaign actually crossed over into second edition when it came out.
Okay.
So she actually got to become a bard.
Nice.
And then 2 sessions later, the entire group ended in a TPK.
Oh no.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, there was no way back in the day any of us were ever playing long enough to get to an actual first edition bard.
Mm. Right. Right. Yeah, same here. And this is going to be probably a year and a half, 2 year campaign. So I figure this is my one chance to earn being a bard in first edition. We'll see how it goes. I'll keep folks updated. My last thing, if I haven't already made you tired enough as it is with all the role-playing game creation, most folks listening to this know I'm an author as well. I just released the 3rd book in my Sword and Sorcery series. As a matter of fact, right before hitting record tonight, I hit the publish button on the print version. The ebook version's been up for a week or so. I got the full copy tonight, flipped through it. Everything looks great. So I hit the publish button on the print version. It'll be up by the time you guys hear this out there on the internet.
Nice.
But this is not role-playing game related, but writing related. I'm shifting gears to my urban fantasy series called Modern Mythology. 2 books are already out. Rights have reverted, so the books are unpublished at this point. I just need to republish them under my own imprint.
Mm-hmm.
Write book 3 for that series, and then I'm going to shift gears back to the Sword and Sorcery. I have book 4 done, except for edits, and I'm going to write book 5 as well. It means I'm writing 2 novels in 2025. I currently have 3 novels out. My goal is to have 8 novels out by the end of 2025.
Wow.
If I get to 7 novels, I'll be super happy. The 8th novel is a stretch goal. And I didn't even put this in our notes. I plan on doing audiobooks myself. Like, I'm going to record them myself for all of the books. And my novels are on the shorter end of things, so it's about 8 hours of audio, which takes about 24 hours of effort. And no, I'm not going to do it in a single day. No, I'm not that young anymore. Can't do it. But I've got a guy that's a master sound engineer. He's going to master it for me and polish it up and all that good stuff. So
Amazing.
I'm hoping by the end of the year, we'll have 8 novels, 8 audiobooks, a Kickstarter for a role-playing game. Oh my God, I'm getting tired already thinking about all this.
Yeah, I'm like, you gotta again, that whole be gentle with yourself if things don't work out the way you want.
Well, most of 2024, I've had a side gig that's consumed all my spare hours. It's really good money. It's web development stuff, software engineering stuff. But that's coming to an end at the end of January, and that's my deadline. I'm parting ways with them. Nothing against the side gig. I just need my time back. So yeah, I'm gonna reinvest that time into my own writing. So there you go. There's my 2025 goals. I put it out on the internet. That means I got to stick to it, right?
You should now.
Yes,
Yeah.
I've set deadlines.
What about you, Tomas? Any additional thoughts on what you want for 2025?
Well, I don't have as much deadlines. I think it's mostly getting to try out different games, mostly reading about them. I would like to go back to being able to do a whole streams there on Twitch. I am planning on moving quite soonish, so maybe when I do, I will get back to that stuff. Getting to launch Magnolia, the City of Marvels, that's for sure going to be quite a thing that I'll be very proud of, and we'll be posting it everywhere at all times, so be ready for that. Yeah, there are several other ideas that I'm brewing in my head at the moment that may become games, may not. We are not sure of that. Maybe they come this year, have ideas they have been postponing for like 3 years already. So
Yeah.
hopefully some of that appears this year. That's something that I am not sure I want to settle on, but something that will spring in if I see I have enough time or energy to do all that.
Yep.
How about you, Ang?
I think for me, the beyond the specific things I said, I want to make sure I continue to work on like my physical health so that I can continue to go enjoy games with friends at conventions or just traveling to visit or that type of thing. I had a knee injury early last year that was really causing some issues, and I did some physical therapy, and like it was a world of difference post physical therapy. So I'm trying to get to the pool once a week or twice a week and just keep moving so I can build up that stamina. Because JT and I joke about playing First Edition when First Edition was new, and that's not wrong. And that was a long time ago. So, I want to stay young as long as possible. So that's the other part of the goal, that even though it's, the normal be healthy, go to the gym type of resolution, it's still related to gaming for me,
There you go. That's a great goal. That's a
Yeah.
great goal.
So getting us out of here, this show is funded by the Gnome Stew Patreon. You too can Patreon back by following the Patreon link on the Gnome Stew website to the Gnome Stew Patreon. We love doing this, and our patrons help us keep it going. The Gnomecast is a part of the Polygamers Podcast Network. So if you're enjoying us, here's another show you should check out.
That go with advantage. Ange and Jared love reading about RPGs and D&D. Together, they share insights into the games they're running in the campaign journal, and then tackle a variety of topics that affect the game in the DM's workshop. Maybe you'll even pick up an ancient D&D factoid about a previous edition of the game that you'll never use.
You can find all of us at gnomestew.com, along with Gnome Stew on Facebook, Blue Sky, Instagram, and Threads. Is there anything else you guys want to give a shout out to today?
All right, I'm gonna be a little self-serving here and announce my recent release of Onyx Gate. Hey, I've already mentioned it earlier, but Onyx Gate is the third novel in my Flashing Blade series, set in the sword and sorcery city of Mesnik. It's out as ebook already, and by the time you hear this, the print version should be available as well. I'll have links in the show notes, or if you want to go check out all of my writing, you can go to jtevans.net.
Tomas, you have anything you want to give a shout out to?
Mostly, I have, as I have said in this episode, a lot of stuff that is going to be coming up. So feel free to follow me on the socials at TGTV Jimenez RGM, everywhere on the internet. I will be posting about all of those the moment that they spring out.
Excellent. For me, one of the goals I made for 2024 was to start reading fiction again. It had been an embarrassingly long time since I last read a novel, and I can blame it on the smartphone, but it's mostly because it was just easier to crawl in bed, turn out the light, play a couple of games, and then roll over and go to bed. And I realized I was missing a lot reading fiction. So I finally figured out the solution that works for me. I got my library card and I downloaded the app Libby, libbyapp.com, which lets you access your library card and all of the digital materials your library has. It's amazing. So support your local library and go forth and read. I got to tell you, if you want recommendations, reach out to Josh, our gnome Josh. He's got a lot of great recommendations, and JT has a lot of good books you can read too. So
there you go.
So do you think this episode was, should we make it a resolution to deal with the stew pot next year?
Yeah, although we may want to look at maybe a regular cleaning cycle for it, you know.
Sorry to get weird here.